Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. The title of today's message is Advancing the Kingdom of God. As Jesus began to preach, his essential message was that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, had come near. Listen to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. I'll read all texts from the New International Version. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray for this kingdom to come. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. If we must pray for this kingdom to come, then we need to understand what it means, what it is. A kingdom is the domain of a king. It's where he rules, where his subjects submit to his rule. So as we pray for the kingdom of God to come, we are praying for the rule of God to come, so that things on earth will come into the same order as it is in heaven. Whenever Jesus performed a miracle, he brought something under that rule of God. He commanded a storm to stop. He commanded water to become wine. He commanded sick bodies to return to health. He commanded demons to leave people alone. He commanded the dead to return to life. So as you and I pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, we are essentially praying for the rule of God to come to earth, for things on earth to come under God's rule and to come into God's order. Now, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his disciples that all authority had been given to him. It's in a text most of us know well, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So Jesus is the King of the Kingdom. And Peter proclaimed this truth powerfully as he preached his first sermon, Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. He comes to this climax in his sermon as he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Lord meaning supreme ruler. And the essential statement of faith of the church became Jesus is Lord. It meant that Jesus is the supreme authority. So as we represent Jesus wherever he may send us, we must represent him as the supreme ruler. Jesus is Lord. He is the King of Kings. And we must call people to come under this rule, to come into the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible teaches us that there are two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 tells us about how we moved kingdoms. Verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Jesus is the Savior King who rescues us from the oppressive, dominating, dark rule of the devil, and he welcomes us into his glorious kingdom. So our salvation is not only about forgiveness of sins, it is also about us changing kingdom. We are rescued from the kingdom of the devil and brought into the glorious kingdom of Jesus. Now, you and I may know this as a theory or a theology or a doctrine, but I am concerned that we don't all know this as our day-to-day experience. We may be believing it or acknowledging it, but we're not living it yet. We may be calling Jesus Lord, but we're not actually submitted to his rule. Our lives aren't yet fully reflecting the rule of heaven and the order of heaven. So today, as we pray Jesus' prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, let's pray it with a greater degree of understanding. And let's not just pray this in the context of our church meetings. Let's pray this in the context of every aspect of our lives. Now, as I was praying and reflecting about this advancing kingdom, I found myself thinking about a house that had many rooms. Maybe you can imagine a corridor with lots of doors, or the blueprint, a floor plan of a house. Each room has a door that we can open, and it allows access into that room. Each door and each room represented different aspects of the kingdom of God. If you and I want to experience the kingdom of God in its fullness, then we need to open every door and ask Jesus to rule in every room. Now, there are a lot of rooms in this house. Today, I want us to imagine the house being divided into three floors. The first floor of this house has rooms that are related to our individual lives. Listen to Luke chapter 6, verse 46, words of Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And Romans chapter 12, and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I love the way the Message translates this verse. It's so practical. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So our individual life can be thought of as many rooms. Some of those rooms are our thought life, including the things that we read, that we watch, that we listen to. There's a room for family life, for other relationships and friendships. There's a room for our recreation, things that we do for fun or to relax. There's a room for our work. There's one for our finances. I'm sure there are many, many more. Jesus spoke about many aspects of life, and he taught us how to live. And his teaching is very, very practical. Just read Matthew chapters 5 and 6, and you will see just how much he has to say about these rooms of our individual lives. He teaches us about anger, about lust, about faithfulness, about integrity, about grace, about generosity, about pride, about greed, and much, much more. Friends, every aspect of our personal lives needs to come under Jesus' authority. In other words, we need to obey his commands in every part of our lives. As we open room after room and submit them to his rule, his kingdom advances in our lives. Now, I suspect that some of us still have some rooms that are closed. Jesus isn't welcome in those rooms. What happens there is not yet under his authority. We need to open those doors so that he is ruling over every part of our lives. As we embrace his rule in each room, we will find that those parts of our lives come into the wonderful order of heaven. Now, as I'm saying this, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you about a room that you still need to open. You may really be struggling with this. You know that this room is not in order. You know that it needs to change. But you like it that way. Or perhaps you're so used to it being that way, you simply can't imagine it being any different. I urge you today, open that door to Jesus. Submit it to his lordship. Ask him to work in you and through you so that it will come into order on earth as it is in heaven. And then start taking some steps of faith in obedience. Now, the second floor of the house has rooms that are related to our church life. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Some people think of the church as an organization or an association that we belong to, or we think of it as a place that we go to from time to time. But the Bible teaches us that the church is actually the body of Christ on earth. Jesus is the head, and you and I are parts of that body. And the church is intended to reveal the wisdom of God to all who look at us. One room that we need to open to Jesus is the room of membership in the church. Now, by membership, I don't mean membership in the sense of attending a class or signing a form or being put on a members list, but in the sense of becoming an integral part of the body of Christ. As we open up this room, we commit to taking our place and playing our part. We commit ourselves to the life of the church, of the body. Not just to consistent attendance, not just to show up regularly, but to participate consistently in its life. Because the body needs all of the parts to work. As Jesus rules over our church life, our attendance and our participation will no longer be based on what we think or how we feel. It will be based on what Jesus wants us to be, his body, and a demonstration of his wisdom. Jesus wants us to be healthy body parts so that we can do our job, so that the body will be healthy and effective. Another room on that church floor that we need to open to Jesus is the room of unity. Jesus wants his body to be a healthy, coordinated body. Parts of the body can't fight with each other because that makes the body sick. Parts of the body can't demand their own way because none of us are the head of the church. Jesus is the head, and we must all submit to him. As Jesus rules over our church life, we learn to work together and to lay down our personal opinions and our preferences for the sake of the greater good. We become united. The third floor of the house has rooms that are related to disciple making, which is all about seeing other people come under the rule of Jesus. Let's read Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 again in this context. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Some people think that the kingdom of God advances when we preach the gospel and people raise their hands. But truthfully, not everyone who raises their hand has surrendered to King Jesus yet. Jesus told us to make disciples, devoted followers of Jesus. So we need to seek more than just a hand going up. A disciple is a person who says, "Jesus is my Lord," and does what the Lord says. A disciple is a person who is seeking the rule of Jesus in their life. The kingdom of God is advancing in the life of a disciple. And that's what Jesus has commanded us to make. The only door that I think I need to mention here is that door to disciple making. When we open that door, we commit ourselves to obeying Jesus' command to make disciples. We are no longer satisfied with people calling themselves Christians but not obeying Jesus. We now want to help other people to open all of the doors of their lives and to surrender every door to Him and to His rule. Let me summarize in closing. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God comes when the rule of God is established. When God is ruling, things on earth start to operate in the same way as things in heaven operate. The order of God is established. Salvation is very much about the forgiveness of sins, but it is also about a change in rule, a change in kingdom. When we are saved, we are rescued from the dark dominion of the devil, and we are brought into the glorious rule of Jesus. The kingdom of God advances as the rule of God advances. So, as we pray, "Your kingdom come," we must open every door of our lives to Jesus so that He can rule. We must open all of the doors to all parts of our lives, our personal lives, our church lives, and our disciple making. May every part of our lives, your life, my life, come fully under the rule of King Jesus. Because then it'll be glorious. So may it be so. Amen.